God is good. And all the time. The Sunday school classes will be coming on in here before long, but we thought we'd go ahead and get started. Make sure before service, I hope you saw the announcements coming on the screen and turning over and everything and letting you know about what's going on in the church. But also, make sure you turn to the announcements in the front of your bulletin. There's the bell. A lot of great things going on here. We're also looking for some positions that are listed there, so make sure that you pay close attention to that. Trunk or Treat is coming up, and if you notice in your bulletin, there is an insert. We're also looking, if you can't be here that night on October 31st, we're also looking for folks that can give candy. So make sure that you, if you're able to do that and willing to do that on this particular insert, make sure that you write that you can bring candy, or they're wanting to maybe for a dollar sell hot dogs and such. So if you can bring hot dogs and hot dog buns as well, that would be great. But fill that, turn this in on your during the offertory time, and that way we will know how to plan that. We want to fill up the parking lot just like we always have. It is always a great time out here. Last year, I can't remember the year before, that's been too long ago, but last year there was a line about 5 foot wide clear down to the old theater down here waiting to go around our trunk or treat. So it is a great time. It's becoming better known in this community, and a lot of people are choosing to do that rather than take their kids from door to door. So it's a safe place that they can take their, that you can take your kids. So anyway, we invite you to participate in that. I think there will be a prize for the best trunk and the best outfits. So isn't that right?
Yes, I believe so.
Yes. So, dress up the best you can. Get that going and use your imagination in that regard. We have seen just about everything on Trunk or Treat. It is a lot of fun. Of course, remember the Cliff Notes, our study guide for this week, goes right along with the sermon. Make sure you take that home along with your bulletin with the prayers and concerns on it. That way, each day you can start out your day correctly by studying the Word of God and just a little devotional in your life. And that way you have folks to pray for as well, which are on the back of your bulletin. One more thing, and then I have something special going on this morning. Your connection card, it does tear off. We invite you to tear that off. You may have to fold it a couple times, but make sure you tear that off. Put your name, address, telephone number on it. If you're visiting with us today, we especially invite you to do that so we can greet you properly and say thank you so much for worshiping with us this day. Make sure you put all that information there so we can greet you properly. And then on the back is a ministry card that helps us connect you to the church. So make sure that you fill that out as well. Let us know areas that you are interested in the church, and those appropriate ministry leaders will contact you in that regard. Now, a while back, I don't know if any of you noticed, there is a box hanging on the wall down in the entryway, and it is called an AED. Now, we were talking in the first service, I can't remember what the A and the E stand for, but the D is defibrillator. Anybody remember what the A and the E stand for?
That's what I'm talking about right there. Woo-hoo! On the spot.
Yeah. Automated external, I almost said eternal.
The eternal defibrillator.
Automated external defibrillator. We had a couple classes for people to be trained on that. Now, those of you who've been around a while know, and just in the short time I've been here, the last 5 years, we've had several times where the ambulance was called into worship service because someone was having trouble. Not all of those were dealing with heart. The AED deals with the heart, and you can put the electrodes on the person, and it will guide you and tell you what to do. And if need be, it will even shock the person to get their heart beating again. It is really a miracle machine. It is an amazing machine. And so several people were trained on it, and they also were trained in CPR. as well. And so this morning we want to recognize you. There were five people that went as far as to become trainers in this regard. And they were Dorothy and Bill Bissell, Larry and Holly Kahn, and Sienna Stevenson became trainers in this. So it is really cool that we have those in our church. Also, in first service, we had, as people that have passed the certification, Mary Lee and Terrell McConnell, Gary and Cheryl Wasner, Ron and Pete Halleck, Randy and Marcia Eaton, and Christine Barrent. And we also have, and if you are here, come on up here. We want to say thank you so much. Amy Phillips, Deanna Shockman, Cliff Huskisson, Faith Rice, Robert Riggs, Sienna Stevenson, Joe Dale and Roberta Hedrick, June Sterling. Come on down. Let us greet these folks with an applause of appreciation this morning. Thank you all so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to be approved on this machine. And Faith, Robert, we just really appreciate you doing that for us and being able to be there in a time of crisis. We would really appreciate that. And for the rest of you, we will have more training sessions, hopefully several more, and we invite you to be one of those who learn how to use that machine and also, you know, just help us feel better in our worship services, that we have people that know what's going on and how to use it and working together. You know, it might be a little nerve-wracking whenever you're doing it by yourself, but having everybody together, we sure are in a better place and being able to help each other out that have health problems. So again, thank you so very much, guys. We really appreciate it. All right, are you ready for a wonderful worship service? Excellent, excellent. We're going to have Justin bring a prayer, and then we'll begin our praise time this morning.
Father in heaven, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the beautiful weather outside, God. And we thank you just for the change in the seasons. God, we pray that as we come together that we can worship you corporately, that we can magnify your name, and that in one voice, in one song, that we can just praise you. And so we ask for that, and we ask that you be amongst us, that you show yourself to us in this service. We ask this in your name. Amen.
Amen. All right, would you stand and sing with us this morning? Thank you.
When I think of you, I see you dancing, you're dancing. When I think of you, I hear you singing to me. When I think of you, I hear you praying, you're praying. When I think of you, I hear you calling for me. Yahweh, there is no one like you, Lord Yahweh. Hallelujah, we sing Yahweh. I see you dancing, you're dancing. When I think of you, I hear you singing to me. When I think of you, I hear you praying, you're praying. When I think of you, I hear you calling for me. Yahweh, there is no one like you, Lord Yahweh. Hallelujah, we sing Yahweh. Love. There's no one like you, my Yahweh, my Yahweh.
There's no one like you, there's no one like you, my Yahweh, my Yahweh.
There's no one like you, there's no one like you, my Yahweh, my Yahweh. When I think of you, I see you dancing, you're dancing. When I think of you, I hear you singing to me. When I think of you, I hear you praying, you're praying. When I think of you, I hear you calling for me. Yahweh, there is no one like you, Lord Yahweh. Hallelujah, we sing Yahweh.
All right, praise God.
The whole world sees. mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave.
Holy God, we give you thanks for this day. We celebrate the honor, Lord, of being able to gather together and worship you. We thank you for this gift of family and friends, of church family, of like-minded believers, Lord. And although we know you're already here among us, we want to be deliberate in asking for your presence. In Jesus' name, fill us full of your Holy Spirit. Fill this place full of your Holy Spirit, God. Help us grow deeper in your love and your grace and your mercy. Help us, Lord, show that love and grace and mercy as we leave from this worship space today, Lord. But for now, fill this place. Because of your presence, because of your powerful presence, may all evil and negative thoughts run scared from this place. For Lord, we realize that we are nothing without you. We need you, God. We need your presence in our lives. And we celebrate you today. Make us one with each other and one with you in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Please be seated.
Amen. Amen. Let's give God a hand, huh? At this point, I'd like to invite Kathy Ansett to come on up, and I'd like to invite all the kids to come on up to the front for Kids Corner.
Come on now.
I love Jesus.
I love Jesus.
Yes, I do.
Yes, I do.
I love
Jesus.
I love Jesus.
How about you?
How about you? I love Jesus. Yes, I do. I love Jesus, how about you?
Sing it out!
I love Jesus,
I love Jesus.
Yes, I do,
yes, I do.
I love Jesus,
I love Jesus.
How about you?
How about you? I love Jesus, yes, I do. I love Jesus, how about you?
Awesome!
Good to see everybody this morning. I'm so glad you're here. I have a penny today that I found on the sidewalk yesterday. Looks like it's kind of had a bit of a hard life, doesn't it? It's kind of dirty and tarnished. And then I have another penny that I got for change when I went to the grocery store. It's all shiny and new. Which penny would you rather have? Shiny one? Which penny is worth more? Well, actually, the federal government, who made this money, says that both of them are of equal value. It doesn't matter which one you use, they'll both buy the same amount. Sometimes our lives are like these pennies. We start out our lives, or we start out our day, or we start out our week, all shiny and new and bright and happy. And then things begin to happen. Maybe the person that we want to be our friend says they don't want to be our friend. And it makes us feel that we're just not quite as valuable as we used to be. Or maybe there's something that all the kids have and it's really cool, and we don't have the money to buy it. And so we think we're just not quite as cool as everybody else. Or maybe we do something that we know is wrong. And maybe we hurt somebody else, or maybe we've hurt ourselves. And we begin, our guilt and our shame makes us feel that we're just kind of not as worthless, or kind of worthless, not as good as we used to be. Well, just like I can take this penny, and I can use a little bit of cleaner, and I can shine it up, God can take our lives and shine them up too. Now, I'm not going to shine it all the way, because that would take a lot of rubbing and a lot of effort and a lot of time. I don't have a lot of effort and time, but God does. And he never, ever gives up. And if you ask him, he can turn your life from being making you feel a little bit worthless to making you feel bright and shiny and good as new. How do you do that? You ask him for his forgiveness, and you ask him for his guidance. Now, he might not always do the things you want him to do. Like this penny, it just has to just sit there and let me rub on it. But you have a chance to either turn to him or turn away. And sometimes when God doesn't do what we want him to do, we think he doesn't care, and we turn away. Maybe that person that you wanted to be your friend, maybe they're not the best person to have for your friend for you. Or maybe those shoes that you wanted, or whatever cool thing there was, maybe God wants you to learn that what's important is what you think and what you do, not what you wear. Sometimes the lessons we need to learn are kind of hard, but I will tell you this. If you seek God's direction in your life, in the end, it will always make you happier. And so, I have some smiley fruit snacks to remind you that if you seek God's will and ask for his forgiveness and his guidance, it will always help you to have a happier day.
As the praise team sings a new hallelujah, the kids are going to come around with cups, and they'll come around, and you'll give them your change, and that change goes to pay apportionments for missions through the Methodist and throughout the world. And so, yeah, and it can be tarnished or shiny. If you want to come up and polish it, that might take a little extra time, but.
Sing with us as you're giving the kids your change.
Can you hear? There's a new song breaking out from the children of freedom. Every race and every nation, sing it out, sing a new hallelujah. Yeah. Let us sing love to the nations, bringing hope of the grace that has freed us. Make it known and make it famous. Sing it out, sing a new hallelujah. Yeah. Arise, let the church arise.
Echo with us. why don't you stand and sing with us?
Arise, let the church arise.
If you've got your Bibles, go ahead and turn to Romans chapter 12. Romans, Old Testament, New Testament. Which is it? Old or new? It's in the new, absolutely. Romans is written by Paul, a letter to the mature Christians in Rome. If any of you have ever read Romans, you'll notice that it's just really different from some of Paul's other letters. Just very deep, very rich theologically. So just a little food for thought. Once you have Romans chapter 12, if you would hold your place and please stand with me. Okay, lift your Bibles up high and say with me the Bible pledge. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. Today I will be taught the Word of God. I boldly confess that my mind is alert and my heart is receptive. I am about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. I will never be the same. Never. I will never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen.
So in the book of Romans, starting chapter 12, starting in verse 9, Paul writes, "Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lag in zeal. Be ardent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in suffering. Persevere in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints. Extend hospitality to strangers. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Do not claim to be wiser than you are. Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but take thought for what is noble in the sight of all. If it is possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all." Here ends the reading of God's holy word.
Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Good morning. How's everyone doing? Good. It is great to see each and every one of you. And today we are concluding Gary Chapman's 5 love languages. We've discussed the love languages of words of affirmation, of quality time, receiving gifts, acts of service, and physical touch. Now, just a very quick review. Remember, in words of affirmation, we talked about encouraging words, kind words, and humble words. encouraging words, kind words, and humble words. And when we discussed quality time, we focused on our time together where there is quality conversation, which is different from the first love language of words of affirmation. They focus on what we are saying, and quality time or quality conversation focuses on what we are hearing. And then, if you remember right, we went through some ways to listen. Maintain eye contact, don't listen, and do something else at the same time. Listen for feelings, observe body language, refuse to interrupt. We also heard about the love language of receiving gifts. Now, this is not buying someone's love. It is a way that people feel loved and appreciated. As a matter of fact, and I hope I've said this enough to you in these last 4 weeks, all of these are a way for you to love. It is not a way for you to get what you want, or even to be loved back, quite honestly. It is a way for you to love. It is you putting energy into either your spouse or your parent or your child or your friend and into learning what their love language is and then putting that love language forth and helping them understand that you love them. So, and that can be any sort of love that we read in the Bible. For a friend, it's not going to be the same kind of love as for a spouse, will it? So I hope you hear all that as I'm speaking. So, we then move to acts of service after receiving gifts. And this love language is literally a way for spouses, friends, parents, children to serve one another. And there are many ways that you can serve each other. Finally, last week I talked about healthy physical touch. And we discussed how Jesus could heal without touching, but yet he chose to heal by touching people. And in many cases, he touched the untouchable, didn't he? In that day and age, you know, for instance, several times in the Gospels, we hear that he touched someone with leprosy. And in that day and age, that is just unheard of. It would even, he would not be able to worship in the temple after making himself, touching someone with leprosy. So all of these things are important as we read about Jesus' life and his message and how he was able to touch the untouchable. So now as parents, with all of the studies in child development combined with our spiritual heritage, we came to the conclusion that wise parents are touching parents. When it comes to marriage, we came to understand that all touches are not created equal, right? Or that your spouse likes all touches equally. We know that that is not the case. We also stated there are two types of physical touch, explicit or implicit. Explicit demands your full attention, and implicit requires only a moment and not much thought. In other words, implicit might be giving your spouse a hug and a kiss on the way out the door to work. All right? So it is an important touch. You took time to do it, but you don't have to think 30 minutes ahead of time, okay, I'm going to give my husband or wife a kiss and a hug. You know what I mean? It's something that just happens, all right? So this week, how do we get a better understanding of what our primary love language is? And what our children's love language might be? Well, as we begin today, I want us to read these together. Let's read these together now. Words of affirmation, quality time, receiving gifts, acts of service, and physical touch. Now, the first thing I would do as we are learning our own love language or our spouse's love language is to take the 5 love languages quiz, okay? Now, we have some copies for you. We're going to hand those out as we take in the collection later on. We're going to be handing those out. So be thinking if you want that. We have a quiz for husbands and a quiz for wives. So be thinking about that. But one way that is easy to do it, first of all, there's an app for that. I mean, sounds like a commercial, right? There is an app for that. It's whether it's Android or iPhone, whatever, you can download it from your market. It's free, and you can just do that whenever you have your phone with you when you're not driving. All right? The other way is to get online, 5lovelanguages.com. 5lovelanguages.com, all right? Now, Doug has pulled up the internet just so to take a little fear out of this maybe, and he'll show us exactly how that works. Maybe. There we go. Now, please understand, he has to look at the cursor up here. So let's back out of that, Doug, so we can see, so they can see what the website. Hit the arrow on the upper left-hand corner there. There you go. Go one more time. There you go. So this is what the website looks like. Okay? And then if you come down to assessments, right above, there you go, right there. It'll pop up and it'll look like this. For wives, for husbands, for parents of teenagers, for singles, for children, and Languages of Apology, I'm guessing is another book or something. I don't know for sure what that is. So anyway, if you're a wife or a husband, if you're a parent of a teenager, I would expand that to grandparents of teenagers or, you know, whatever. If you're single, and for children or for grandchildren as well. So click on one of those, Doug. Yeah, there you go, for husbands, all right. And it just gives you some instruction. And then next, it likes you to put your name and address in. You don't have to, but then hit next again. And it's questions like this. For the husband, the first question is, there's 30 of these. First is, my wife's love notes make me feel good. The second question is, the second part of that is, I love my wife's hugs. Now, you need to think about which you like best, gentlemen. And it's the same for the wives, except the language changes to husband in the question. So my husband's love notes make me feel good. I love my husband's hugs. And you answer questions like that 30 times, and then it will tell you what your primary love language is, or what maybe you have two that are primary, if that makes any sense. And so that's how you do it online. Again, we'll give you a paper one at the end of the service if you would like that instead. But this is 5lovelanguages.com, and then we have the app. So you have three different ways to go about doing this, right? What's one? The app, right? What's the second one? Online, and then you have the test you can do, the paper test, all right? So all these will help you understand what your love language is, and also, assuming your spouse does it as well, it will help you understand what their love language is, too. Thank you, Doug. I appreciate it. Another way to narrow down your love language is to look at the negative use of love languages. Look at the negative use of love languages. So in other words, having trouble? I still see you. Look at the negative use of love languages. What does your spouse do or say or fail to do or say that hurts you deeply? What does your spouse do or say or fail to do or say that hurts you deeply? If your deepest pain is the critical, judgmental words of your spouse, then maybe your love language is words of affirmation. Does that make sense? Yes, no, maybe? So if your primary love language is used negatively by your spouse, that is, he or she does the opposite, it will hurt you more deeply than it would hurt someone else, because not only are they neglecting to speak to you or your primary love language, they are actually using that language in a negative way. Does that make sense to everybody? So if your love language is words of affirmation and they use words to correct you, that's going to hurt deeper than if someone's love language is acts of service and their spouse tells them, corrects them in some way. Another way to discover your primary love language is to examine what you do or say to express love to your spouse. Okay? examine what you do or say to express love to your spouse. So I've given you several different ways here that you can understand, or you can understand your spouse or friend, parent, child. And that one is taking the test. Two is downloading the app and taking it there. Five, love languages online, doing it there. Looking at the negative use of love languages from your friends, your family, your spouse. And then the other way is to examine what you do or say to express love to your spouse. All right? Now, you have to understand, so many conversations in my office when I speak to husbands and wives is things right around this. Wouldn't it be awesome if our spouse had the exact same love language as we do? That way, when we expressed our love language that we're comfortable with, our spouse would understand it, wouldn't they? How easy would that be? Well, more than likely, your spouse, well, I hope, your spouse was raised in a different household, right? As a matter of fact, most siblings don't have the same love language, even when you are raised in the same household, right? So you need to learn what your spouse's love language is, because what I hear when it comes to my office is, Eric, I just don't think my husband or wife loves me anymore. And then I hear from the husband or wife, I do all I can to love him or her, right? I'm expressing the love the only way I know how. Guess what they're doing? They're expressing love in their love language, and their spouse is either deaf or blind to how they express their love, because it's not the same. Does that make sense? Now, if you have a little bit or quite a bit of the same love language, we get along great. But the problem is if you're high in one and low in the others, you're going to be totally blind to other forms of love in your life. All right? So it is so important. And I'll move on just a second or two about children. But with spouses, it is so important that you learn what your spouse's love language is. You got to learn what your love language is as well, because you'll understand yourself much better in that situation. But you have got to learn what your spouse's love language is so you can help and understand them so much more. Now, before we move on, there are two kinds of people who may have difficulty discovering their primary love language. The first is someone whose emotional love tank has been full for a long time. Does that make sense? If your emotional love tank has been full for a long time, you're probably not even thinking about these love languages and such. You might even think this series has been kind of silly, right? The other kind of individual is the individual whose love tank has been empty for a long time. The individual whose love tank has been empty for a long time. As a matter of fact, it's been so empty for so long that he or she doesn't even remember what makes them feel loved. Does that make sense? Now, in either case, whether your love tank has been full for so long, you haven't thought much about it, or if your love tank has been empty for so long, you have forgotten what makes you feel loved, in either of those cases, you've got to go back to the experience of falling in love. You've got to walk down memory lane and remember what it was like to fall in love. And I guarantee you, once you get that first memory, oh, yeah, now, okay. Oh, and then it'll just kind of like cascade. Your memories will start cascading on you, and you'll remember, oh, yeah, now I understand. Now I remember what I felt like whenever I was falling in love, and now I remember what made me fall in love with my spouse. But none of this will do any good at all if you never discuss it with your spouse. So you have got to discuss these things with your spouse. All right? So now, one important thing that I want to touch on this morning is learning your child's love language. It is extremely important. As a matter of fact, I want you to listen to something. Psychiatrist Dr. Ross Campbell says that in his many years of treating adolescents who have been involved in sexual misconduct, he has never, listen to me, He has never treated such an adolescent whose emotional need for love has been met by the parents. Now that's a huge statement, isn't it? In all of his years of experience of counseling adolescents who have sexual misconduct issues, he has not one time counseled an adolescent in sexual misconduct issues where their love tank, so to speak, was full. Their need for love was met. His opinion is that almost all sexual misconduct in adolescence is rooted in an empty emotional love tank. Agree with that or not, that's just his experience, and he's come to that conclusion. Dr. Chapman talks about Bobby. Now listen to me here. Dr. Chapman talks about Bobby, who is 6 years old. When Dad comes home from work, Bobby jumps into his lap, reaches up, and messes up his father's hair. What is Bobby saying to his father? And what is that in love language talk? Physical touch, right? Bobby's saying, hey, I want to be touched, Dad. I want you to wrestle with me. I want you to tickle me. I want you to do something, but I want to be touched, Dad. I want to be touched by you, Dad. All right? So it is important whenever we're thinking about our kids that we hear and we observe, because kids are totally open. You know, I mean, when Jesus says, you know, to enter the kingdom of heaven, you must be like this child, sometimes you wonder if that isn't what it's like, because as adults, we shut ourselves off, don't we? With kids, very seldom do you have to guess. They'll show you if you are observant enough to see it. So yes, Bobby wanted physical touch, and you could almost say, at least at this point in Bobby's life, his primary love language is probably physical touch. Now, Patrick, on the other hand, is 5. And when his father comes home, Patrick says, come here, Daddy, I want to show you something. Come here. Dad says, just a minute, I want to read the paper and sit down and relax a little bit. Patrick leaves for a moment, but is back in 15 seconds saying, Daddy, come into my room. I want to show you something now, Daddy. Come into my room. Dad says, just a minute, let me finish. Mom gets involved and she says, Dad's tired, just let him read the paper for a little bit. And Patrick says, but Mommy, I want to show him what I made. 60 seconds later, Patrick runs back into his dad and jumps in his lap on the newspaper laughing. And he says, I want you to come to my room so I can show you what I made for you, Daddy. What is Patrick requesting in the love language? Quality time. Quality time. Yes, quality time. He's saying, Dad, I want your undivided attention. I am so proud of what I made, and I want to show you, Dad. I want to show you. He wants his father's undivided attention. Now, if your child is constantly making things and giving them to you, it's a good clue that their primary love language is receiving gifts, right? Or if your son or daughter is always trying to help someone, it probably means that their primary love language is acts of service. So just watch your children and observe your children, and you'll be able to see before long what at this point, I mean, they change quickly, right? So you have to continue to observe. But you'll be able to see what their primary, or at least one of their primary, love languages are. All right. I hope that's helpful. Now, I want to read something out of the Love Languages book that was really powerful to me. If you have your book and want to open it up to page 180. Did you see how quick I moved there? 180. This is really powerful. Now, listen. It's under Words of Affirmation, page 180. Parents typically give many affirming words when the child is young. Even before the child understands verbal communication, parents are saying, what a pretty nose, what beautiful eyes, what curly hair, and so on. When the child begins to crawl, we applaud every moment and give words of affirmation. When he begins to walk and stands with one hand against the couch, we stand 2 feet away and say, come on, come on, come on, that's right, walk, you can do it, walk, walk to me. The child takes a half a step and falls, and what do we say? We don't say, "You dumb kid, can't you walk?" No, we don't say that. We say, "Yay, good job!" So he gets up, and what? He tries again, right? Why is it, now listen, why is it that as a child gets older, our words of affirmation turn to words of condemnation? Have you ever thought of that? When the child is 7, we walk into the room and tell him to put the toys in the toy box. 12 toys are on the floor. We come back in 5 minutes and 7 toys are in the box. And what do we say? "I told you to get these toys picked up. If you don't get these toys picked up, I'm gonna..." Right? Folks, what about the 7 toys that are in the box? Why don't we say, "Yay, Johnny, you put 7 toys in the box. That's awesome, Johnny." The other 5 would probably jump into the box. Amen. As the child gets older, we tend to condemn him for his failures rather than commend him for his successes. To a child, now listen, to a child whose primary love language is words of affirmation, our negative, critical, demeaning words strike terror into her psyche. Hundreds, now listen, you may be right here, right now. Hundreds of 35-year-old, well, maybe not the age. Hundreds of 35-year-old adults still hear words of condemnation spoken 20 years ago ringing in their ears. "You're too fat. Nobody will ever date you. You're not a student. You may as well drop out of school. I can't believe you are so dumb. You are irresponsible and will never amount to anything." Has any one of us heard something like that in our life? And are they still echoing in our heads? Adults struggle with self-esteem and feel unloved all their lives when their primary love language is violated in such a detrimental manner. Isn't that powerful? I mean, I've read that many times and I still kind of get chills going down my back thinking about that. So, what is love? You know, really, we've spent the last, including today, 5 weeks talking about and answering that question, haven't we? Love changes from person to person, doesn't it? Because isn't love really how you receive that love? And the way Dr. Chapman has defined it is through these 5 things. And a lot of you might be saying right now, "Well, Eric, you haven't, other than reading the Scripture, you haven't mentioned Scripture once. What about this sermon is Scripture?" Oh, folks, what about this sermon is not Scripture? Everything about this sermon is Scripture. This is exactly what Jesus taught. And if you read the book, 5 Love Languages, and you go back and read the Gospels and learn about Jesus' life, the way He dealt with people, it's like He knew about this. I wonder how that could be. Right? Jesus knew humans. Amen? Jesus knew how He could help us receive His love. Amen? If you hear that today, if we can get these words out, it doesn't even matter if it's spouse, it doesn't matter if it's our kids, our parents, it doesn't matter if it's this church to the world, if we can learn how people receive love, think what we could do in people's lives. Do you hear me this morning? I don't like to study the Message Bible, but I love it for devotional. It's written by Eugene Peterson. You have to understand when you read Bibles like this, Eugene Peterson is a Presbyterian pastor, and therefore he transliterates the Bible through his beliefs. It's like the Living Bible. The Living Bible is written by a Southern Baptist. You have to understand when you read the Living Bible, you are reading Southern Baptist theology. You just have to understand that, all right? And that's, I'm not saying anything bad about that. I'm just saying you got to know that, right? That's the difference between like NRSV, NIV, New American Standard. Those come straight from the Greek. Okay? Are you understanding what I'm saying this morning? So, but I want you to listen to how Eugene Peterson talks about Romans chapter 12, beginning with verse 9. If you want to, get out your Bibles and follow along, but this is just amazing. Romans chapter 12, verse 9. Listen how he starts this off. Love from the center of who you are. Don't fake it. Tell me, folks, if you know your love languages, if you know what your primary love language is, when you love other people, where are you loving from? You are loving from the center of who you are, amen? And even better, when you learn other people's love language, what are you doing for them? You are loving to the center of who they are. Do you hear that this morning? He says, love from the center of who you are. Don't fake it. Run for dear life from evil. Hold on for dear life to good. Be good friends and love deeply. How can you love more deeply than when you understand how people love themselves? Practice playing second fiddle. I love that. Practice playing second fiddle, folks. It's all right. You can be second fiddle. Don't burn out. Verse 11, don't burn out. Keep yourselves fueled and aflame. Be alert, servants of the Master, cheerfully expectant. Don't quit in the hard times. Pray all the harder. Help needy Christians. Be inventive in hospitality. Bless your enemies. No cursing under your breath. How many times do we do that? Oh, bless your brother. Oh, yeah, right. Right? Mm-hmm. Bless your enemies. That's verse 14. No cursing under your breath. Laugh with your happy friends when they're happy. Share tears when they're down. Get along with each other. Don't be stuck up. Make friends with nobodies. Make friends with nobodies. Don't be the great somebody. Don't hit back. Discover beauty in everyone. If you've got it in you, get along with everybody. Don't insist on getting evil. That's not for you to do. I'll do the judging, says God. I'll take care of it. So folks, what is love? Let's read these together. Words of affirmation, quality time, receiving gifts, acts of service, and physical touch. Let's pray. Holy God, we give you thanks and praise for this day. We thank you so much for those that are gathered here, Lord, and we ask for your powerful blessing upon each and every one. We ask you, God, to bless us in a way that will energize us and help us not only learn our love language, but give us energy. Trouble us even, Lord, to learn our spouses, our friends, our daughter, our sons, our parents' love language. Help us understand each other better. Help this church understand the love language of this community, God, so that we can further expand your kingdom. We love you so much. We are only here because of you, God. And we ask for you in all that we say and think and do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you are able, I would like for you to stand, please, and let's sing together, hear our praises. As is always the case, this altar is open for you to come. If you want to pray, please feel free to do that. Hear our praises.
May our homes be filled with dancing. May our streets be filled with joy. May your justice bow to Jesus. As as the people turn to pray. From the mountains to the valleys, hear our praises rise to you. From the heavens to the nations, hear our singing fill the air.
Sing with us today. May your light shine in the darkness.
May your light shine in the darkness as you walk before the cross.